This is a CBC podcast.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi. This is Q, the podcast. Highlights from the November 30th edition of Q, the program. Okay, on your podcast today, Nerdcore. There's a new documentary film about this geek hip-hop extravaganza that's gaining popularity across North America. I chat with writer and director Nagin Farsad in New York City. And we take the pulse of cultural trends with actress, comic, and all-round funny person Elvira Kurt, plus the music of Oshawa, Ontario's Cuff the Duke, playing with us throughout the show on our Friday Live for the inner geek in you. This is your podcast. This is Q. Well, never mind the cool factor of two turntables and a microphone or sampling obscure Curtis Mayfield tunes. How about an entire album made up of samples from 8-bit Nintendo games and lyrics rife with sci-fi references? Yes, this is Nerdcore.
Nerdcore hip-hop is nerdy hip-hop.
You know, rapping about math and science.
Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica.
Chewbacca. It's everything that hip-hop isn't.
Rap is all about I am awesome. Nerdcore is all about, like, my car doesn't really work and I haven't had sex in a year and a half.
Hip-hop grew up to be the essence of cool. This nerdcore prides itself on not being that.
Yes, that's a musical sampling of voices, at least, from a burgeoning realm of hip-hop called Nerdcore, a scene not to be confused with Geeks to Rap, which is a totally different thing, you guys. This musical culture is the subject of a new documentary, a compelling one, called Nerdcore Rising. It's directed by writer and comedian Nagin Farsad, who joins us live from our New York studios. Hello, Nagin.
Hello, Gian.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Well, describe the nerdcore movement and why you decided to make a documentary about it.
Well, I mean, I wasn't a big nerd. I mean, I was kind of like, I didn't really understand Star Wars. I was like that woman, that old lady in the theater who was like, so what was the guy with the mask, the black mask? Who was that guy? You know, like I literally couldn't follow those things. And then suddenly this just kind of fell in my lap because I was writing a musical comedy about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is hilarious.
And, yes, right.
And the music writer happened to be MC Frontalot's keyboardist, and MC Frontalot is the guy who coined the term nerdcore, is the kind of godfather of the movement, and so that's kind of how I found out about the whole genre, and then I found out he had thousands of fans all over the English speaking world, and I just thought it was kind of like ridiculous and amazing at the same time, and I went to the first show, one of his first shows he had in New York, and it was just like geeks that had never been to a club before, and they were just like dancing and joyous, and it was like it just really felt like this is an amazing community, and it's really kind of something different.
Now, so, hang on a second, I'm looking at your CV. You've studied a government and theater in your undergrad years. You went to grad school for African American Studies and Public Policy. You worked as a statistician for the city of New York.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a mildly nerdy CV.
Is
this your scene now?
Yeah, I was definitely like an academic nerd. This much is true. So, but I'm definitely nerdy in many respects, like I still haven't managed to kind of like fully embrace binary code as like an interesting topic of conversation.
Now, I should just say if for people listening that we're using nerd in the affirmative. The nerds actually use the term themselves, right?
It's not,
it's not a derogatory or
pejorative. Taking back the word.
Right. Now, would you call nerdcore a legitimate music genre? How big is nerdcore?
You know, it's interesting because it's kind of debatable. Like, there's definitely the number of like super legitimate nerdcore stars. You know, you can count on two hands, really. But there's anywhere from like 10 to like 150 nerdcore artists. But the thing about nerdcore is it's kind of all embracing, and it doesn't require any kind of studio backing or any kind of real street cred, because all you need is some kind of computer savvy and how to make digital music. And that is enough to make you a nerdcore artist. And that's kind of what's really great and like democratic and open about it, is that it kind of welcomes anyone who has the willingness to learn and get on a computer and make the stuff. And then
there aren't requirements, parameters around what makes a good nerdcore artist?
Well, I mean, I can say that the ones that are really going to make it, I mean, you look at someone like MC Frontalot or MC Lars or MC Chris, these guys have really made a living off of being nerdcore artists, and they're really good. You go to one of their shows, and they're just super engaging shows. And, you know, MC Frontalot and his team, he comes with a full band, you know, a bassist, a keyboardist, a drummer. I mean, these guys are real musicians. So at the end of the day, like, if you're making good music, it doesn't matter if it's nerdcore or, you know, thrash core, whatever, it's still
okay. You've mentioned MC Frontalot a couple of times, and you follow MC Frontalot and his band. Why are you laughing? You're telling us this is, I mean, this is your doc, right?
Because he's the focus of my documentary, and you're helping me plug that fact.
Right.
Honestly, like that guy, his use of the American language is so ridiculous. I mean, the American language. Listen to me, the English language.
Right. What is the American language? American girl.
That was so stupid. No, but I honestly feel like he's extremely literary and he knows words. He really
knows
words.
Who is MC Frontalot?
MC Frontalot, like I mentioned, is the godfather of nerdcore.
Yeah, I got that part.
The term in early 2000, and he just started. You know, he just started writing. He was a web designer, just a guy living in New York, designing websites for people. But he just started rapping. He always wanted to rap, you know, ever since he was a little kid. And a lot of these guys, I mean, that's the thing about this generation as well, is that they kind of grew up on Chuck D and De La Soul, these are their heroes. And so,
and you had a chance to interview mainstream hip hop artists about nerdcore.
Yes.
in this film. Give us a sense of what their opinions are of it.
Well, one of the guys in the film is Prince Paul from De La Soul, and he, you know, his opinion of nerdcore is that, you know, he thinks it's great, and it kind of reminds him of old school hip hop, because, you know, we kind of think of hip hop today as something that's confined to, like, you know, gangster hip hop, and that's not really what it started out to be. It started out to be all sorts of voices about all sorts of different subjects. You could be, you know, talking about how you can't get girls as easily as you could talk about how rich you were, or, you know, how much play you were getting. And so that's kind of where hip hop started, and it's kind of veered off of that path in mainstream hip hop today. But, you know, nerdcore is kind of like an interesting callback to that, to those beginnings.
I gotta say, there's not a great many women in this film. Is nerdcore mostly a guy thing, or is that changing?
You to know that one of the most prominent nerdcore female artists is Canadian.
Oh.
Yes,
a girl
by the name of Nurse Hella.
Oh, Nurse Hella's Canadian?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you didn't say that in the documentary.
When
you were
speaking
in American language.
I should have just like completely stopped the documentary, right, and just said, the person you just saw is Canadian.
Well, that would help. We like that kind of thing up here.
She speaks American, but she's Canadian.
Right.
There aren't that many female nerdcore artists. There are a few, like I said, Nurse Hella and MC Router. But they're, you know, I think part of it is because, you know, the kind of tech sector from which a lot of these nerdcore artists come from is largely male dominated as well. You know, there are nerdcore artists that have PhDs in computer science, and so, you know,
I should hope so. Yeah. Have nerdcore scenesters seen this film? How do they react?
Well, you know, the film isn't out yet, and the film's not even technically done. There are a few people that have seen it, and I think the thing with the film is that it is a loving embrace of nerdcore. I mean, we kind of poke fun at playing Magic the Gathering and other things that are just kind of like sometimes dreadfully boring for the uninitiated, but it's definitely I'd say a loving depiction of nerd culture, and so for that they like
it. Here's the paradox: can the nerds, and quite frankly, the music is quite awesome. A lot of this that we see in the documentary. But if you're self-identifying as a nerd, isn't that partly an outsider? And so if based on attention like you give them in your documentary, nerdcore becomes even a bigger cultural phenomenon. Nerds become popular, then are we? Is that not a paradox? Are we not undermining the nerddom by they'll start getting girls? People will be be groupies.
No longer making.
They'll
them
be shooting
nerds.
People. You know, they'll be taking shots.
No, definitely wearing grills on their teeth. But like, that's definitely, you know, a tension, right? That that once nerds become popular, they're no longer fringe, and and by definition, they can no longer be nerdcore. And so that's definitely an issue. But I think, you know, you look at some of these artists and I don't think MC Frontalot is going to stop playing, you know, massively multiplayer online role-playing games anytime soon. No matter how famous he gets, that guy is literally going to still play MMORPGs. And he's going to do it, you know, unforgivingly.
Right.
And so I think, you know, as long as your interests are kind of aligned in the nerdosphere, then you'll always be nerdcore.
Nagin, thanks for joining us. And good luck with the documentary.
Thanks for having me.
Nerdcore Rising is the documentary from Nagin Farsad. You can check out Nerdcore Rising, one word, nerdcorerising.com for more information. And she joined us from our studio in New York City.
This is Q, the podcast. You can catch Q, the program, weekdays on CBC Radio and several times a day on Sirius 137.